Going to be reading from a couple of different places in the Bible this morning, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. I'm going to be reading from Leviticus 19, 17, and 18. And I would also encourage you to read the entire chapter of 19. It's got a lot of the you shoulds and should nots. I encourage you to read the whole Bible, but that in particular would be rather interesting to go along with this morning. Leviticus 19, 17 and 18. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Then in Matthew 18, 21, 22. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. And I know in some translations of the Bible it says 70 times seven. So I think really the point is we should be a forgiving people. We should be willing to forgive over and over again. Now, if somebody keeps doing the same thing to you constantly, I think you reach a point where God understands. Because people, when you forgive them, should learn from that and not do it anymore. We're going to talk about bearing grudges this morning and about loving your neighbor, loving your enemies, because Jesus really wants us to do that. And we get from the Old Testament that God wanted them to do that as well. When he told them, don't bear a grudge, that you should care for your neighbor, you should love your neighbor, even if that neighbor has done something to hurt you. You should still love them and be willing to forgive them for that. Comedian George Burns owned a club. They had a big dinner in honor of his 95th birthday, one of those roast kind of dinners. And there's a lot of talent there. But the first person to get up to speak was Irving Brecker. He was the creator and writer of the TV series back in the 50s, The Life of Riley. And here's what he said when he stood up. He says, what is so unusual about our guest of honor this evening is that in a profession that is so frenetically competitive, where the pressure to make it big is so intense that often friends turn to on one another, George Burns does not have a single enemy. And he paused for a minute. He says, because they all died. James Thurber, in one of his stories about his grandfather, who fought as many as a dozen Indians barehanded, to hear him tell it, and vanquished them all, on his deathbed, he was asked by his minister, have you forgiven all your enemies? Granddad looked at him and said, haven't got any. Minister said, well, that's remarkable, but how did a red-blooded, two-fisted old battler like you go through life without making enemies? Granddad looked at the minister and said, because I shot them. Sometimes we'd like to shoot our enemies. We would wish they would go away. But that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us we should love them. Forgive them. Don't bear a grudge against them. There's a little girl who wrote a note to her pastor. She says, I heard you say to love our enemies. I am only six and do not have any yet. I hope to have some when I am seven. Maybe that's our attitude sometimes. Maybe we feel like we don't have any enemies, that there may be some down the road, we don't know, that we already love everybody and everybody loves me. Okay, I hope that's the case, but I'd be willing to wager that most of us have had an enemy or two in our lifetime. Most of us have had somebody who's hurt us very badly, and we didn't appreciate it. And when that happens, it makes it very difficult to forgive them. It makes it difficult to love them. But Jesus tells us we should be willing to do that, even as many as 77 times, or 70 times 7. It's important that we love those people who would harm us or say something that hurts us or whatever comes our way that would make us a little bit perturbed at them. It's a very important thing for us to be willing to forgive. And one of the things that really aggravates me is you hear people say, well, I forgave him, but I'll never forget it. Well, if you're not ever going to forget it, you probably didn't forgive them in the first place. That's not to say you can't remember what happened to you and maybe be a little more cautious next time, but to not forget it, to keep that in your mind and burn over it, you never did forgive them. Forgiveness takes that weight off. It's not your problem anymore. Because when you are angry at somebody or you hold a grudge against somebody, it doesn't hurt them. They don't care. It hurts you. Now, we live in a competitive society, and in competitiveness, sometimes you create some enemies. For example, in the early days of electrification of the country, Thomas Edison and his bunch were promoting DC current, like a battery. George Westinghouse was promoting AC current that we see today in our homes. And in the time of this infancy of electrification, Westinghouse was winning. More AC current was going into houses than DC current. So Edison, hoping to kill two birds with one stone, hoping he could undermine Westinghouse and his AC current, hit upon a plan. He was asked by a member of the New York State Commission on Capital Punishment to help them come up with an alternative execution to customary hanging. So, tying the two little problems together, Edison invented the modern electric chair that we know today, and it used Westinghouse's AC current. So when names were suggested about what to call this thing, such things as electricide, Edison was adamant that he wanted it to be called being Westinghoused. So he was trying to kill two birds with one stone. He was trying to get back at his competitor. And we compete not just in business, not just in sports. We compete within our families. Look at sibling rivalry. Look at how sisters will stay after each other. But boy, let somebody come up against one of them and they're thick as thieves. Or brothers, it's the same way. But there is competitiveness there. And sometimes in doing so, we might hurt a family member. And we hope that they'd forgive us for that. And we should be willing to ask for forgiveness so that we're not getting into a situation where it divides families. So think about, who is my enemy this morning? Think about, do you harbor ill will against somebody and you're not willing to forgive them for it? It just burns inside you. Think about those things and think to yourself, is it really worth it? Is it really worth holding that grudge, affecting you physically and spiritually? It's not worth it. You should be willing to forgive and forget anything. And in today's society, that can be a pretty hard thing to do. We look around us and we see so many things happening today. The bombings and the shootings and all those things. And we think, how could I ever forgive them people? How could I ever forgive that young man that walked into that school and killed those children? Or walked into that church and shot those people in Bible study? Or walked into that gay bar and killed all those people? Now, I don't support homosexuality, nor does the Bible, but I won't get into that. Those were people, and it shouldn't have happened. And we think to ourselves as a collective people, how can we forgive those people that keep harming this country? But we have to. We have to be willing to forgive and forget. Some people just do things that are bad. And we have to accept that. Doesn't make life easier, doesn't make it right, but we have to accept that. There's a particular case, court case, where an unsavory business was started pretty close to a church. And the pastor sued trying to get it stopped. Well, in court, the defense attorney tried to rattle the pastor. He looked at him and said, you're a pastor, right? And the pastor shook his head and says, well, doesn't the word pastor mean shepherd? Minister agreed. Yeah, that's what it is. Well, if you are a shepherd, why aren't you taking care of your sheep? And the pastor looked at the attorney and said, because today I'm fighting the wolves. There are wolves among us. There are those who would devour the sheep. And we have to watch out for that. But that the harm that comes to us, we should be willing to forgive. Jesus was all about love and forgiveness and not holding a grudge against people. I'd be willing to bet that even Mother Teresa and Billy Graham, as good Christian people as they were, they probably had people that you might classify as an enemy, people that hurt them. But I'm willing to also bet that they forgave them for that. And that's what we should do. People like that that are in leadership positions, pastors that are in leadership positions, should be the example and be willing to forgive so that the congregation might see, well, yeah, I guess I can forgive too. And it's important that we forgive and that we show love to our neighbors. Not forgiving hurts. And it can just devour you. It can affect your relationship with God. I know one of the things that people think about when they get hurt by somebody or something happens to them is retaliation. We try to retaliate. Well, I won't get angry, I'll get even. Getting even is not part of the plan. God says, vengeance is mine. And if we trust Him to take care of it, He will. We don't have to. So you forgive and forget and let God take care of it. There's a funny story about a man who contracted rabies. By the time he went to the hospital, it was too late. He was going to die. The doctor stopped in to check on him one day, and he's writing a bunch of stuff down on a piece of paper. The doctor says, are you writing a will? He goes, no. I'm making a list of all the people I'm going to bite. Back in 1940, there was a paper boy that had gotten nipped by a dog, and he contacted the Humane Society, who took the animal, kept it for observation before releasing it back to the owner. Problem is, the owner never forgot. And even decades later, she kept tormenting that former newsboy by making harassing phone calls. She never forgot. And that's the wrong thing to do. We look at our news today and we see all kinds of incidents where people have tried to retaliate against somebody and they wind up losing in the end. So it's not worth it. Spiritually, retaliation is a deadly thing. We need to learn to forgive and forget. I know sometimes we want to at least get the upper hand one time, but maybe that's not the way God wants it to be. Sometimes we secretly harbor resentment towards somebody, and we shouldn't do that. God sees what's inside us. We need to be nice, Christian, loving people. In 1844, Captain Robert Stockton brought his ship to Princeton, to Washington to display her. And this was a ship that had, for its day, all the latest technology. It had numerous cannons and firepower and weapons and different things. And there was one particular cannon on this ship that was bigger than the others. It weighed 13.5 tons. The cannonballs that were fired from it were a foot in diameter. They weighed 225 pounds. But this cannon, even though its size was so big, could still fire that with a 25-pound gunpowder charge. He was proud of that. So proud of it, he called it the Peacemaker. Well, during this celebration, it was fired multiple times to show the crowd how it was doing, how well it worked. And there was the president and heads of state and senators there watching all this. Eventually, they got tired and they went down into the ship to look at some of the other things. And somebody asked the captain to fire it one more time. Well, not everybody came up. There was a few people that came up because they'd kind of gotten their fill of it. When they fired it that last time, it exploded, killed two people and injured numerous others. Now, if that had happened when the president and these heads of state were all up on deck, probably a bunch of them might have been killed too. Could have wiped out half the government at the time. The point being that one last effort, that retaliation that we try to get against somebody, can blow up in our face. We try to make peace by having the bigger weapon, and it can blow up in our face. It's about love. It's about loving our enemies. There's a young man whose dad ran a service station. His dad passed away. So mom and him took over the service station, tried to run it for a little while. They noticed there was a box on the counter, and inside that box was a bunch of 3x5 cards. This was before the days of computers. Everything was on a 3x5 card. And they were debts that customers owed the service station. Well, they tried to collect on some of these debts, and people refused. They said, well, they didn't owe them the debt. They owed their dad the debt, who was gone, so they didn't owe the debt. Well, they couldn't make a go of the business. They sold it, but they kept the box full of cards with all the debts on it. But this kept eating away at this young man's mother. So she decided one day to do something about it. She went out into the backyard. She fired up the grill, got that box out. She would take a card out, read the name out loud, and say, I forgive you, and threw it in the fire. She did this a few times, and the son came out in the backyard. He's like, what are you doing? She said, well, this was bothering me. And rather than going to the point of hiring an attorney and all the things that go with that, I decided I should just forgive them. So I am taking them out of this box, naming them, saying I forgive you, and throwing them in the fire and destroying them. So the young man thought, hey, that's good. Can I do that? And he realized when he started doing that, that it was a great weight came off of his shoulders. He wasn't worried about the burden of this box full of debt that nobody would pay. He felt better because he had forgiven all these people that were in debt to him. It's kind of like in the Lord's Prayer, which we say every Sunday, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. We can forgive those who've trespassed against us. It's up to them to forgive us, and hopefully we are careful not to trespass, but it happens. And when you forgive, it makes you feel better. It lifts you up. Giving our enemies is that first step in loving them as Christians. And I know we might think to ourselves, well, but what they did to me was too horrible to forgive. There's nothing too horrible that you cannot forgive them for it. Because anger and resentment is going to kill you. It's not going to hurt them. So forgive them for it and live your life in love. God forgave our sin. Forgive them theirs. Amen?